This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Workers at the world's largest iPhone factory stage violent demonstrations to demand better conditions amid strict COVID regulations. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Another round of protests have erupted at Foxconn's Zhengzhou factory in central China. Multiple videos online appear to show staff at the plant run by Foxconn facing off against police in hazmat suits, some even chanting, "Give us our pay and defend our rights." All of this follows a mass walkout in recent weeks when thousands of workers defied orders to remain at the factory because of a coronavirus outbreak there. Within the last hour, we've had a statement from Foxconn. It says reports of COVID-positive workers living in the factory dorms are patently untrue. It says it will always fulfill work allowances based on contractual obligations and that the company will continue to communicate with employees and the government to prevent similar outbreaks from happening again. The BBC's Stephen McDonnell is in Beijing with more.
What sparked this latest sort of upheaval there, if I could call it that, is that workers who have been previously infected with COVID, you know, they've gotten better, are then back on the assembly line and they're working next to people who've never been sick. And those who haven't been infected are worried that those who have already had COVID might spread infections throughout the factory.
And part of the strategy to get workers to stay at this factory is Foxconn had promised bonuses or higher wages, but many of the workers say so far that hasn't happened yet.
Yes, exactly. And so in these latest protests, the workers are saying they haven't received these bonuses.
Obviously, as we talk, this is a difficult situation on a human level for the people involved. But from a business perspective, Foxconn is Apple's biggest iPhone maker. Are there concerns that these protests will cause more supply chain issues?
Yeah, well, they've already admitted it. I mean, Apple has had to admit that the crisis at Foxconn had already hit supply chain. And that was all from the first round of people fleeing Foxconn and all the associated upheaval. Now we've got yet another round of it. So it's got to make the situation even worse. I mean, at one point, because it's such an important industry for that part of China, local government workers were being ordered to go to Foxconn and work there for a while to try and keep the wheels of production going.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks so much for your time.
No worries. Good to talk to you.
Checking the numbers now, European benchmarks are little changed at this hour. That's after fresh data show business activity across the Eurozone cooled in November. Meanwhile, shares of embattled Credit Suisse are down 5.2% in Zurich today. That's after the company said it expects to take a loss of up to $1.5 billion in the fourth quarter. To Indonesia now, where authorities are using helicopters to airdrop relief supplies to survivors of a Monday earthquake that struck the West Java province on the island of Java. The BBC's Valdia Bereputri has more.
The situation remains precarious, with dozens of aftershocks each day. Survivors are staying in tents, too afraid to return home. The government has promised to improve conditions at the evacuation centers and also to contribute to the cost of rebuilding the 20,000 homes that have been destroyed. Rescue workers remind people not to get too close to a ruin of a house. They are trying to evacuate a body of a 28-year-old man trapped in concrete after a three-floor house collapsed to the ground. The government estimated that most victims are children because of the number of boarding schools in the area that have been destroyed. Meanwhile, many destroyed houses are left by the owners who took refuge in makeshift tents.
That's Valdia Bereputri reporting there. The Scottish government does not have the power to ask voters whether the country should break away from the UK. That's the unanimous ruling from the Supreme Court, which said such a move could only happen with backing from the UK Parliament here in London. A Brexit-like break would have implications for trade and businesses in Scotland, and many business owners have been considering the potential impacts. One of them is Erica Moore, who owns a cafe called Etiquette in the capital, Edinburgh. She gave me her reaction to this morning's ruling.
To be honest, it's quite a lot to take in on top of everything else. I think a lot of business owners and business leaders across Scotland are very focused on getting through the current economic crisis and the energy crisis that we're all dealing with. So obviously this is a huge decision that's come out this morning. I think it will take time for a lot of people to digest it.
As you say, I mean, you're contending with lots of different challenges over the last 3 years. I mean, what is the business environment like for you and others in the Scottish capital?
At the moment, to be honest, it is extremely challenging. It's very, very tough. And I started my tea business, Etiquette, back in 2008 during the first, there was an economic crisis at that point. Obviously, this past year has actually been the very toughest in business. There's been the fallout from COVID, the fallout from Brexit, and the cost of living crisis and the current energy crisis. It's just everything has come to a head all at the same time. So I think businesses right across Scotland, across lots of different sectors, are really struggling right now.
Now, I suppose the question is that this ruling doesn't necessarily put the independence question or debate totally to bed. I mean, many say that it could just ignite more fierce political debate about it now. Would that have an impact on business?
As business owners, I think we would really have a duty to look at all the numbers and get to the bottom of it and see what the best thing to do would be for Scotland and the economy as a whole. It's going to be a very interesting 2023, I think.
One day, one challenge at a time. Erica Moore, owner of Etiquette in Edinburgh, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you very much.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.